The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch. Claw. Up against the wall.
Can't explain it, what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe it. USC is 7-5 again. Oh no!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Random Turf Radio. It's the CarCast after USC's 48-0, 48-0, a shutout, a win over the Utah State Aggies at a darkened Coliseum because of some lighting issues with power outages. But we have the power here, at least as long as we hope. We don't want to jinx anything. We're going to talk about the game and so much more. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Rainof Troy. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Rainof Troy. Call into the rave line, 818-643-7227. Suck at Woods Brewing Show. I'm your host, Michael Castillo, joined with my co-host here in the Rain of Troy studio in Los Angeles, Alicia D'Aratola.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. We are back.
We are.
With a new little score graphic on the top of the screen.
Looking sharp.
Meant to have this up last week for LSU, but we didn't have it in time, but now we do. Which is a perfect time because SC gets the first shutout since 2011. And Dan Lynn didn't take long to get it, did he? Game two.
Okay. It was Utah State. It was Utah State. It was Utah State. It was Utah State.
Yeah.
It was Utah State. It was Utah State. It was Utah State. But, you know, in our Discord channel, it was Kyle who said that this team feels different. And that's been stuck in my head ever since he wrote it. This team feels different. That shout, that shutout is different. Angelo Henry in the chat. Thank you for changing my life, Danton Lynn. Like that's, there was a great, the meme that was going around last week after the LSU game, it was that meme where it's like, thank you for changing my life in one panel and the next is I'm just Danton Lynn.
big ups to Tim in LA with the big super chat. You guys are awesome.
Yes, Tim, you are awesome. Thank you so much. He says a shout out.
Yeah,
cheers to that.
Our friend Will Robinson, famously of USCfootball.com back in the day, in our little friend chat, the offense has been able to score at will against lesser teams. The defense hasn't been able to stifle lesser teams in a long while. And I think that's the takeaway here because, yeah, you're right. It's Utah State. Like nobody's crowning SC. This game doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things that way. But I go back to what we talked about last week. We said that, you know, all the things that we were saying out after the LSU game was sort of like besides the point of the score. Like, the big takeaways, they can tackle. Miller Moss looks good. The defensive line was great. They were stopping the run. They were great on third down. All of those things were true regardless of how the game ended, right? today, all those things that you can say, all the big takeaways, like, the score is, like, one of the lower things. And more importantly, it's, like, I think the score is noteworthy because SC hasn't done this in forever. Because SC, you look, just go through the years. Last year, San Jose State scored 28. 2 years ago, Rice scored 14. Not that 14 is a lot, but
it's more than zero.
It's more than zero. Yeah, you just go back through the years. 2019, SC gave up 23 to Fresno State. 2018, 21 to UNLV. Holding teams to zero has not happened in a long, long, long time. Like, that's what makes this sort of, you know, different.
It does make it different, and I think you're right to point out that it's the way that they're doing it. I had a friend texting me going like, is this impressive if it's just Utah State? And I was like, yes, it's impressive because it's the way they're going about it. These aren't empty calories. The defense, I mean, we've seen USC jump out to big leads against other teams, you know, thinking of like Stanford last year. And Stanford last year in the first half was one of the most fun first halves that I can remember in a long time, just on pure dominance. But the second half, you know, once you started clearing the benches and getting deeper into the depth, they started giving up points and they weren't doing things on offense, and it just sort of deflated the performance. Mm-hmm. In this one, the defense, after they took out the starters, was just as good as when they had the starters in. Was doing everything right just the same. They were tackling just as well. They were positioned just as well. They were, doing their jobs just as well. They were getting off blocks and clogging up rushing lanes, and just every little bit was just as good as the frontline guys. Mm-hmm. And the frontline guys have been pretty damn good over the past 2 weeks. And again, it's so hard to say when it comes to Utah State and even LSU. Like, you know, LSU, we don't know how good LSU is this year. They struggled with Nicholls State. I think they might have a buy-in problem with Brian Kelly at the moment. So I don't want to like draw, USC plays a role in that, you know, in mm-hmm. feeding into those feelings for LSU. So it's hard to sort of draw conclusions about what this means on the grander scheme for USC.
Right.
But I keep going back to what Kyle said in our Discord. This team feels different. This defense feels different.
Mm-hmm.
This defense feels put together in a way that I cannot remember being the case since the Pete Carroll days. And it's almost like I've watched a lot of college football since then, and I've watched Georgia and Alabama and all those teams play really good defense, but it was always sort of from a detached perspective because I'm not a fan of those teams. I'm not invested in those teams.
Sure.
And like, I think I forgot what it felt like to watch a defense with investment play like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're different. It feels different.
You and I were talking during the game, like, SC is tackling every single time. That the few times that they miss a tackle, there's somebody else there to make the tackle on the follow-up, right? Like, I had gotten to the point where I felt like I was living in a post-tackling society, right? like I had come to the conclusion, you know what, just... Yeah, SC doesn't tackle, but, like, nobody tackles, right? Like, isn't the meme that, you know, Texas doesn't tackle and Oklahoma doesn't tackle?
There's no good
tackle.
Miami tackling.
Doesn't tackle. Like, nobody tackles. Like, this is the thing. Like, nobody tackles, right? Like, nobody tackles anymore. Nobody knows how to do it. And then you see how just two games in, and, you know, I'm trying not to get ahead of ourselves through two games, but it's just such a stark contrast to see a third and six, and there's a throw for 4 yards, and they're getting close to the first down marker, and you just know that they're not going to get it. And knowing that they're not going to get it is weird. It's weird to sit there and watch it. At what point did you think that the shutout was really going to happen? And when did you have doubts, if any, that the shutout would happen after you thought about it? Does that make sense?
I tweeted at some point that I'm really invested in the shutout now. And I think it was probably coming back from halftime or sometime in the third quarter. But because it was like that, it was the thing where USC has shut out teams in the first half. Right. Before or yeah. Played reasonably good defense in the first half in terms of at least scoring allowed. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in a blowout, you just sort of expect them to take their foot off the gas in terms of the way that the defensive foot on the gas kind of stuff. And it didn't feel like that was happening. And so
yeah.
In the third quarter, I think it did start to materialize that even as they're bringing in more and more backups, they're getting the job done just as well. And then obviously at the end, I had sort of given up. I'd sort of said, okay, they're going to kick the field goal here. And I guess we just have to hope that it's college kickers. But even the best part about that, just think about the way that the defense responded to that last drive when these are all like not just backups. These are like third and fourth string guys. These are freshmen. These are guys who probably aren't going to play very much this year. And Utah State is getting closer and closer. They get into reasonable field goal range, and I'm just like, well, you got to hope for the kicker to miss it. And then they just generate a bunch of negative plays and basically take them out of range. Mm-hmm. And that's how the shutout happens. Like yeah. It was a very active shutout for that unit to come out and end up in a position where you probably lost the shutout and then to snatch it right back. Like yeah. I loved the response. And then you see the reaction on the sideline. You see Danton Lynn being pumped up. You see Eric Gentry like looking like USC had just beat LSU on that sideline because they kept the shutout. Like this is something that USC was missing in last year and the year before, in that that's team building, you know, like the ability to celebrate together like that,
right?
It deepens connections within a locker room, within a team. And the defense hasn't been able to do that very much. I mean, the offense has been able to do it plenty because the offense has been great, but the defense has not had those moments. Mm-hmm. And you could see that not quite the lack of those moments, but just everything piling up on the defense weigh them down as the seasons went on, with defense getting worse and worse and worse instead of better.
Yeah.
And it feels like this defense has positive momentum that for all intents and purposes, you have to believe is going to carry through, because I mean, I don't know what this team is going to look like when they get to, you know, Wisconsin or Penn State or Nebraska, even Washington. But Michigan's the next game up. And we spent a lot of time today talking about Michigan. That game is primed for this defense to show out again. If the defense tackles the way they tackled today and last Sunday, if the defense pursues the way they pursued today and last Sunday, if the defense holds their ground in the trenches the way they did today, and obviously much easier today than last Sunday, but if they simply repeat what they've done in these last 2 days, they can do to Michigan's offense what Texas did to Michigan's offense. Now,
yeah.
We're going to have a lot of conversations about the Michigan game and whether or not USC's offense will hold up, stand up to Michigan's defense the way that Texas did. That's a whole other question. But defensively, we've seen two stellar games from this defense, and I have every reason to believe they're going to put together a third, because I simply do not think that Michigan has the offense that's actually going to test this. I mean, quite mm-hmm. frankly, you can make an argument that Utah State's offense is more dangerous and has more dangerous playmakers than Michigan. Now, I'm not going to go that far. I'm just saying you could make an argument. That's not a hill to die on.
But it's a thought.
But, if Bryson Barnes was at Michigan right now,
is he starting?
Is he in competition to start? I mean,
I don't know. The fact that you don't know and then it is a hypothetical is damning. But I don't want to talk about Michigan.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of time to talk about Michigan.
Yeah, we have plenty of time there. But you mentioned LSU and LSU struggling this week against Nichols. I think it's interesting because the more I was thinking about it, especially as the day went on, you know, Notre Dame loses to Northern Illinois, Penn State nearly loses to Bowling Green. We saw who else? There's Michigan obviously got blown out by Texas.
There
right?
Were like, so Iowa loses to Iowa State. Yeah, Kansas loses to somebody. Oregon barely survives Boise. Alabama barely survives.
James Madison
USF
was in a squeaker with Gardner Webb.
Liberty barely survived New Mexico.
A lot of these games, right? And like, I think that, you know,
Bowling Green and Penn State.
Yeah, I had this thought, like, you know, 7:30 before the kickoff. I'm like, you know, maybe we're overlooking, like, it's been a shaky week two around the country. Maybe we're overlooking the emotional letdown of that was a big game in week one, and now it's a step back. Michigan is the next game. Is this the letdown look ahead sandwich that the solid verbal would talk about?
Yeah.
It's also 6 days rest. Lincoln Riley said in his interview with Keely Orr before the game that, like, last week was a very emotional game, so you got to sort of recharge from that. All the things were there for this to maybe not be the blowout that it was, but it was. And I think that that's another thing that, you know, is another huge check mark in the favor of the Trojans, is that, like, all those little things that could have, would have, maybe should have been a hindrance weren't. And on top of that, it was the best defensive performance in a decade in terms of the scoreline, in terms of yardage. It's SC's best defensive performance in a decade. First time since 2014 that they held somebody to under 200 yards. Way back to Oregon State in 2014, everything sort of came together. Another big shout outs. We had a couple more super chats. Hokey P coming in big. We had another one up here earlier that I missed a minute ago from,
because you sent out a roll call and the chat went crazy. Oh, from Irvine Cattle Ranch.
Yeah.
So much more Cheers. Fun when you are both happy. Fight on. Longtime listener. It's nice to see the whole crowd in there. But
it's midnight. It's just about to turn midnight. We did put out a roll call into the chat. Say, where are you guys tuning in from? It's midnight in LA. It's about to turn midnight in LA. And yet, we've got people from Pennsylvania, Washington State, Texas, Denver, Vegas, Arizona, West LA, San Diego, Orange County. There's people from all over the place in here. And I think that
a lot of folks in Texas.
It's a testament to SC fans being pumped up. You know, about the Trojans being able to put everything together, get a big 48-0 win over the Utah State Aggies. Alicia, let's walk through this. Let's talk about the offense here. Trojans had, I would say, a very balanced performance. 544 yards, 295 through the air, 249 on the ground. Jaden Maiava came in, got 66 yards through the air. He also ran for 7 yards and a 7-yard touchdown run at the start of that fourth quarter. Miller Moss. Welcome to Miller Time. 21-30, 229, touchdown. Not his best game. Didn't need to be.
He took care of business.
Yeah.
All I needed to see from Miller Moss was that gorgeous drop it in on a dime out to the left to, who was it to?
It was to Woody Marks on a wheel
route.
Yeah.
That
between three dudes, probably a pass that he shouldn't have made.
Except if you,
he had to put it in the perfect spot, and he did.
If you can deliver it that accurately,
yeah,
then you get to make that pass, and he's now done that two games in a row. He did. It was similar to the pass he pulled off against LSU. So you know what? Like, more power to him. If he can make that throw, make that throw.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Miller looked great. It was an understated performance. He didn't need to be special. I think his performance is going to be overshadowed by that little cameo we saw from Jaden Maiava in terms of what we remember from this game.
Sure.
Offensively. But Miller, what more do you want from Miller? He just goes out and gets the job done and looks like the picture of composure. And I want to commend him and the offense and, I mean, the whole team for avoiding the pitfalls of, like, buying into their own, reading their own headlines and buying into their own, just juice from the LSU game.
Yeah.
They very clearly came out and just, again, workmanlike, took care of business in this one.
I think the other thing, though, is that it wasn't the perfect offensive performance because, and I'm not being nitpicky here because it didn't need to be perfect, but I thought that the play calling was a little bit conservative in the red zone. A lot of screens. In the red zone, but a lot of screens in general. We know that
those screens are very. I was listening
very
to
effective.
Those screens are very effective, but I was listening to the Victory podcast with Keely Ure and Cody Kessler, which is awesome every week. They're very worth a listen.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talking about whether or not USC would open up the play, would sort of open up the playbook and pull out a bunch of trick plays to try and set up Michigan for having to practice about those.
Yeah, the answer is no.
Or be conservative and sort of keep it limited. And Cody talked about how, from a player perspective, like the company line is that you're just going to go out there and focus on the team ahead of you and whatever. But Kessler admitted that when you're playing this kind of team and you're an offensive, genius the way that Steve Sarkisian was and Lane Kiffin and Lincoln Riley is certainly in that category, you are looking to set up future opponents. And I fully believe that some of these screens that are big annoyances to us, and maybe this is just me galaxy braining the hell out of this, but some of these screens have felt so telegraphed and overused in these games, in this game in particular, that I have to believe that Lincoln Riley is setting up something.
Yeah.
He wants Michigan's defenders to think they see something, and then he's going to hit him with a cross.
Ron Murray in the chat says they did run a flea flicker. Dropped by Makai Lemon. Makai Lemon did score on one of those screens, too. I think it also helped that Utah State was dropping eight, playing too high. Two high safeties to try to take away the deep stuff and keep everything in front of them. I thought it was probably the right move defensively from Utah State, sort of make SC earn it, and SC did earn it, right? Like, we saw longer drives, a little bit more methodical in that sense, fewer big chunk plays than last week against LSU, and like I said, it didn't need to be revolutionary, especially when SC was able to run the ball. And 249 yards, 37 carries, 5 rushing touchdowns. 249 yards, the most the Trojans have had in a game since 2018. That's 6 years ago. Long time. Woody Marks, the first 100-yard first-half runner since since Rojo. That was a stat that BTN threw out there.
Yeah. This was... I love seeing USC just say, screw it, we're just going to run the ball. Because, I mean, in the preview episode, we talked about how this defensive front, the biggest guy on that defensive front is 280 pounds. Like, this is not going up against LSU. This is a team that you can assert your will against in that regard. And USC didn't mess around. They put the ball in the hands of the running backs and let them go to work. And it was really nice to see Woody Marks go to work and Quinton Joyner had a couple of really nice moments. I mean, the one where he spun out of a tackle and then Miller Moss was upfield being a blocker for him. Mm-hmm. That was spectacular. I'm sad he didn't score a touchdown, because that would have been a hell of a highlight play that we could play over all season for Miller Moss. But I thought the really interesting thing here was that Brian Jackson...
7 carries, 34 yards.
RB3, which mm-hmm. I wouldn't have necessarily... I mean, there's been a lot of really, really good things said about Brian Jackson, so I'm not necessarily surprised that we saw him here, but I would have guessed that the pecking order was a little bit different. I would have guessed that Amarian Peterson would just on seniority would be up there. So Brian Jackson being the third back out there, unless this was just about they planned to redshirt him and they figured they'd get him as many carries as they can, which I don't know if I totally buy what I'm selling there on that, but like, sure. I like the way the kid looked, and he's a big dude. I think that
having the 21 on his jersey makes the comparisons to Alan Bradford for me. I think people could say Lendale White, sure,
yeah.
But
he's not
Jackson
as thick.
Just looks Jackson looks taller.
Yeah,
and I always think of Bradford as being a very upright runner in that sense too. And yeah, he looked good. I was most impressed with Quentin Joyner myself.
Yeah.
I just thought he was so jittery, silky, being able to make some little stutter steps. Mm-hmm. And he was so good at that. You know,
and also good against contact. I thought he was driving through contact and
yeah,
creating more opportunities for himself by not just making the first man miss, but making the first man miss and then shaking off the next man.
Yeah. Woody Marks added 39 yards in the pass game, which was helpful. Let's talk about the receivers here. It was the tight end game. You had the over under for tight end catches, I think at 5.5. We'll talk about that more in the Fallout episode on Monday. But safe to say that was an over. Lake McCree led the Trojans in receiving, 4 catches, 81 yards. But Walker Lyons, the man who was on the mission in Norway, was on the mission in down the field, I guess. 3 catches, 13 yards. We saw Kate Eldridge out there for a catch.
Can we talk about the receiving chart?
14.
This receiving 14. Chart is absurd because, okay, the receiving chart goes in the order of number of catches, not like number of yards. So
yeah,
usually though, those numbers aren't that, like, they're not that out of order.
Sure.
But this one, they're all out of order. Like McCree has 81, which is far and away the most.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, Branch has 4 for 19 and Marks has 3 for 39 and Lemon has 3 for 23. Lyons has 3 for 13, and then Kyle Ford comes in with 2 for 35, which is like the third leading receiver on the team. Jacoby Lane only 2 for 16, Jay Fair 2 for 3, Jaden Richardson 1 for 19, Kyron Hudson 1 for 16,
Charles Ross
1 for 11, Kate Aldridge 1 for 11, Quentin Joyner 1 for 9. Like, these are this is just like a wild wild receiving.
It's all over the place. And I think the screen game and getting the backs in there certainly helped.
And then look at all those yak yards. Again, we talked about the screen. I love that. This is what I love about Stat Broadcast, but we talked a lot about how many screens USC ran. 205 of USC's 295 receiving yards were yards after catch.
Yeah. That's a lot. A lot of screen game. Samir in the chat says, are we going to ignore the wide receiver drops? No, I think we got to talk about those. We mentioned Miller Moss didn't have the greatest game, didn't need to be.
Should have had 2 more touchdowns.
He missed a couple of shots to Deuce Robinson, where Deuce Robinson needed to be 9 feet tall instead of 8 feet tall. And then, so you add on that on to the times where there were drops. A key drop from Jacoby Lane, who only had 2 catches in the game, could have had a third in the end zone. Just didn't catch it. And then the second drop. Who was the second drop?
Was it Zachariah Branch?
Yeah, Branch. Yeah. On the little
screen to the left. Yeah. One to the right dropped. One to the left. Yeah. Both were thinking about running before catching.
Yeah, Jaden Richardson dropped one late, but dropping the two touchdowns early in the first half, I think, was, you know, a sort of a mark on the offense, because at one point, SC's first five drives, all of them could have scored. Probably should have been finished off with touchdowns, but three of them weren't, because Lake McCree fumbles, and then there's those two dropped touchdown passes that SC has to settle for field goals.
There was a discussion on the Discord, I think, about how the Lake McCree fumble, like, dude he's just got to have better ball security. He has to know that defenders are going to catch up to him from behind, because he's just not that fast.
Yeah.
But we talked about that in the Discord, about how, like, in the grand scheme of things, you'd rather have these learning lessons against Utah State than later.
Exactly.
So you got to think Lake McCree will be more alert to that kind of, you know, fumble potential. Zachariah Branch and Jacoby Lane will both have to remember to catch the ball and then run. I mean, against LSU, Kyron Hudson, the drops that he had, like, again, those were the same thing. He had to learn that lesson. These guys have to learn that lesson, and I'd rather have them learn that lesson in this game, right, where it's not going to hurt. Yeah, than at the Big House or against Penn State or against one of those. So it is nice to see, not nice to see, it is useful for some of those mistakes to come up in this game.
Sure.
Because they can definitely be teaching moments.
Yes. However, it's only useful as long as you actually...
As long as they learn.
Improve on it.
Which brings us to the tackling. Because we got to have a conversation about the tackling. Because that was the thing that frustrated everybody and their mother over the last 2 years and further back. But let's say specifically in the person who stole Christmas era, every single week it was like, are they practicing tackling? Yes, they're practicing tackling. Like, they're working on tackling. Yeah, they're working on tackling. Yeah, they're working on tackling.
Yeah.
And you never saw improvement on the tackling. And then Danton Lynn and this new staff comes in, and in the course of 9 months, turns a bad tackling team into a stellar tackling team. And I want to know, what the heck did they do?
Well, we know what happens usually when things take 9 months to arrive.
What did they do? I would love to know, because it's nice to see a defense put a focus on something and say, we're going to be excellent at this.
Yeah.
And then be excellent at it.
Yeah. Like we said, it's development. And if you can come back from, you know, the catches and improve on those things. And I think that the only thing people want to see, I think people, we can talk about expectations and all those things, but I think it's very simple. For the most part, people want to see your team playing hard. They want to see your team get better and develop.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to see an attempt to win, an attempt to go forward, all those things. Those are just the very basic tenets. If you do all of those things, that's such a head start in being able to get fans behind you. Mm-hmm. And no matter what sport it is, right? Like, it can be like dressage for all I care. I'm sure the people who love watching the Royals jump up and do the dressage stuff, whatever they do, think about the same thing. They're like, I need to see this horse develop getting over that hurdle, right? And SC has been slowly but surely, I say slowly, it's already week two, defensively, getting over those hurdles that they weren't able to get to last year or the year before. And we can say just the Grinch era, but I think it's selling the thing short a little bit, talking about the defense just being the Alex Grinch stuff. because we talked after 2021 that was the worst defense we had ever seen in our lives. They can't possibly be worse, right? They have to be better under Alex Grinch, and they weren't. Yeah. And then we said it again after 2022. They can't possibly be worse than that.
Yeah.
And they were again. We said it again going into 2024, and finally it is true with Dan Lynn. They couldn't be worse. And not only that, they are significantly better, holding Utah State to 0 points, first time since 2011. Let's take a quick break for our audio-only listeners and come right back and talk more about USC and the defense, shall we?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Alicia, I want to mention something about the defense here. You said that you loved seeing on that last drive from Utah State the team rallying around, high-fiving, pumped up, you know, making the tackle on third down to force the really long field goal attempt, which was well wide to the left, and ultimately sealing the shutout. You said you haven't seen that in a while. I want to push back on that slightly. We saw it 2 years ago under he who should not be named defensively against Fresno State. Do you remember the last drive, the last play of the game?
Yeah, yeah.
But do you remember the other thing? Do you remember the other thing about that game? We talked about it being a good defensive performance for SC that night against Fresno State. That night, SC gave up 17 points, 257 yards. All of those things are way more than they gave up tonight. I think it speaks to just how low the expectations are. That was impressive to see back then.
Yeah.
And now being able to see, the holding teams to being able to hold somebody to zero. You know, is a thing. I talked about last week that you look at what other teams are able to do. In week one, you had all those teams shut out guys, right? Like Alabama shut out Western Kentucky. All those teams shut out people. And you're like, yeah, it'd be cool if SC does that. SC never does that, but it'd be cool if they did. Mm-hmm. They did.
Well, I remember, I don't know if I said it on the preview show, but I remember having conversation at some point this week about how, like, now would be a great time to have a shutout, like to prove that defensive performance against LSU was mm-hmm. real.
Right.
Because a lot of what my anxiety about the LSU performance, which the LSU performance was awesome and I absolutely loved every second of it. Well, maybe not every second of it, but it felt very real. And my anxiety has been born out of what we've seen at USC over the past few years is like
right.
In September we have had some false dawns defensively and it's been like, oh, this is the year that the defense comes together. And I feel like I've just been bracing for going into this game. I feel like I was bracing for the reality check because so many teams around college football today got a huge reality check. Namely, you know, Alabama, one of those teams you named, who against Western Kentucky had a shutout and a brilliant performance, and then they come out against USF, and suddenly everything is just not working for them. And I was very relieved to see that all of the things that we saw against LSU carried over in this game in their own sort of impressive way, because right. Utah State is not LSU. Bryson Barnes is certainly not Garrett Nussmeier. Yeah.
There's no way he was the same dude, right?
Bryson Barnes?
Yeah, last year it was Cam Rising that was in his jersey, right?
It's like they swapped bodies or something. Cam Rising didn't wear the knee brace.
Cam Rising did the
astral projection that's in behind her eyes and
spoiler alert, God, jeez.
That's the thing, is like we've seen this same quarterback look like quite effective against a USC team. And suddenly he was not effective. And even it's beyond that, because, you know, the running back, Faison,
yeah.
That dude has some juice. That dude can run. He's quick. He's slippery. He can get going. I was ready for him to break off a run at some point in this game, and he never really did. And that's a testament to the defense doing their job, not just well, but like consistently, because I think we've seen that from USC defenses in the recent past that were capable of getting stops and playing well. They'd lose their focus every once in a while and give up a big play or something like that. And that's not what this team has done in either of these two games. And against players that are certainly capable of punishing any lapse in concentration.
Yeah.
And I think it helps that this defense seems to have an immense, immense amount of depth, because the secondary is absurdly deep. The defensive line looks like, defensive front looks like they're very comfortable with, you know, shifting guys out there, platooning in a sense. The linebackers, even without Mason Cobb today, I mean... there are some conversations that are going to have to be had about how do you manage all of these players who seem to be all playing very well and keep them all happy, keep them all maximize all of them at the same time. Because
I think it's good though.
Yeah, it's great. But like, how do you take Eric Gentry off the field at this point?
You do it by like you play college ball 25.
I mean,
worn and torn is a thing.
Yeah, I mean you turn up the worn and torn sliders. I mean, you turn up the auto sub sliders to max at linebacker so that like you can switch out between the three: Easton Mascarenhas, Arnold, Eric Gentry, and Mason Cobb. But like,
yeah.
Mason Cobb was immense against LSU. Eric Gentry was immense in this game and against LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I think Easton Mascarenhas Arnold is allowing those guys to have a lot of those more flashy plays, and he's sort of doing the quiet work. We always talked about in the 2016 defense, who was it that was doing all the quiet work?
Anthony Cerro.
Yeah, you always got to have an Anthony Cerro on in any good defense.
Yeah, but
I'm not trying Easton Mascarenhas Arnold with faint praise here, but
the difference is Anthony Cerro, you wouldn't notice him on the field and you'd see that he had four tackles and you're like, but I don't remember a single one of those.
Yeah.
EMA had seven tackles, and yeah, they weren't as flashy and as memorable as all the plays that Eric Gentry was out there disrupting. But it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. The other thing I think is fascinating, or I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this defense is able to shuffle those guys around when Cobb's back in there, is we know that this defense has flexibility. We know that they want to do different fronts. Shotgun Spratley over at USCFootball.com has done a great job of like trying to, you know, note all the defensive looks that SC has sort of thrown out there, the times when they go to like a six-man front or a two-man front or whatever it is, right? I think all of that versatility, the Danton Lynn's ability to disguise the blitz, disguise the looks, get into different shells, all those different things, only gets more like complex and more advantageous when you have more guys able to play and rotate, right?
Yeah, like, keep them fresh.
Yeah, and you keep them fresh. I think it's going to only help things going forward. Kamari Ramsey, 3 tackles, a sack, and a tackle for loss. I have to say that might have been one of the best 3 tackle performances I've ever seen. We put on Twitter, we will not rush to put Kamari Ramsey in the Polamalu Hufanga tier. We will not rush to put Kamari Ramsey in the Polamalu Hufanga tier. But he's close.
He
just feels like he belongs there already. And that feels insane to say after 2 games.
Yes, but he feels like the kind of safety that is literally like a literal version of their positional name. Like,
yeah,
he's safe. He's the like he makes you feel safe on the football field because he's gonna be in the right spot and he's gonna make the play. If he's out there, anytime I see number 7 in the field of view, I know that things aren't gonna go wrong.
He reminds me of Kevin Ellison so much in that way.
Yeah,
when Kevin Ellison was always around the ball,
yeah,
he didn't have to make the big flashy plays. And I think that the difference comparing, you know, Kamari Ramsey to Polamalu and Hufanga is those guys, I don't want to say that they were highlight merchants. They're not highlight merchants in a negative way. They were highlight merchants in the sense of like they were always making highlights, and you can watch a million highlights of what Polamalu and Hufanga did.
It's the same thing we were talking about with the linebackers.
Yeah, like Eric Gentry is someone who's going to be in all the highlights, right? EMA might not be in all the highlights, but he's making all the plays too. Kamari Ramsey was just making so many plays happen, even if he's not the guy making the tackle to get into the stat book and be productive that way. And I think that great players make other players around them better, and Kamari Ramsey is a great example of that. Just mm-hmm. like Kevin Ellison, you go back and watch the late great Kevin Ellison in 2008. You can argue he's the best player on that defense, and he's the one who didn't get the accolades.
Yep.
But he made everybody else better around him.
Yes.
And Kamari Ramsey, I think, is going to end up being someone who does get the accolades, and rightfully so, because he's also able to, you know, make some big plays. He had a sack, and tackle for loss was the sack.
As Jeff Rodriguez also pointed out, just have to say, Easton Mascarenhas-Arnold got the interception. So,
yeah, that's true on the tip. Yeah. So absolutely. Let's talk about Bear Alexander. Mentioned in the chat that he wasn't exactly impressive. Thomas said that he's been kind of underwhelming. He got a bit of run towards the end. A lot of run with the thirds of the freshmen. Your thoughts there?
So long as Gavin Meyer and Nate Clifton are doing the job that they're doing, then I think that they are a great example for the defensive coaches to show Bear what he has to be doing in order to be up there, because
yeah.
he has to unseat those guys, and those guys have been impeccable so far.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I'm not worried about Bear Alexander. I would be worried about Bear Alexander not standing out if the defensive line needed help desperately,
yeah.
or needed somebody to be that guy desperately. They don't need somebody to be the Bear Alexander of last year,
right?
Because everybody there is doing their job and everybody there is taking care of business. And Gavin Meyer and Nate Clifton are, you know, again, guys that aren't necessarily going to be on the stat sheet every game. And they don't need to be in order to be critical players in this defense. And I think that's where Bear is. I don't think Bear's doing a bad job at all. I think Bear is fading into that group, which is, I think, a surprise to people, because USC fans have been so used to Bear standing out because of what was around him, and now he's not standing out, and it's like, it's jarring, like, where's Bear? The fact that he's not standing out does not mean that he's not doing the job, because when he's on the field, I don't see USC giving up the run fits.
Yeah, there's no letdown there.
There's no letdown. It's just that is when Gavin Meyer and Nate Clifton are doing the job that they're doing, they're going to be first in line, and Bear is going to have to take a background role there. But this is also the nature of this system. The defensive tackles are not supposed to be the guys making plays. They're supposed to be the guys that are setting up everybody else around them to make plays. Yeah. And that's why you've seen Eric Gentry and Mason Cobb last week have the plays that they've had. That's why you see Anthony Lucas and Jamil Muhammad freed up to make those plays. That's why you see the safeties coming up and making those plays, because the defensive tackles are setting the stage for them. And I'm sure that's frustrating for somebody like Bear Alexander, who is immensely talented and capable of creating havoc and has a very, very high ceiling. But when it comes down to it, USC doesn't need him to be that player right now. And as Jeff points out in the chat too, like, Bear was dealing with injuries during the offseason. You know, he might just need time to get back up into full form, to have him start making some of those more high level plays that you want to see from him and elevating his game. But like right now, again, I don't know that USC needs that from him right now.
Yeah,
just be patient.
It's a good problem to have. This is not a one-for-one comparison, but just roll with what I'm trying to say here. In a way, it reminds me Zachariah Branch production, right? Like, Zachariah Branch has not been productive majorly, right?
Yeah.
Because the ball has been distributed to everybody else, right? And he hasn't been the game plan hasn't been orchestrated in a way to force feed him and make everything go around him. That's a good thing. Like, it's I think you would love to see Zachariah Branch have 100-yard games in his belt, under his belt, and all that stuff. But like, he hasn't needed to be the guy. And it's nice that SC is an offense that is very productive without their being a person who needs to get his yards, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Bear Alexander is that you know, equivalent in the sense of, like, there's other guys making plays too. Like that's okay. It doesn't have to be just, you know, one guy that's out there as well. All right, we're gonna wrap this episode up quicker than normal because it is late. Alisa, you've got a 5K now. It was a 10K, but now it's a 5K.
Yeah, which I'm gonna be honest is probably for the best.
we've got a bunch of questions in the chat, so let's rapid fire these things and take it home before everyone on the East Coast can hopefully get to bed before 4 a.m. Let's open up the mailbag, shall we?
You've got mail.
All right, TAC Tech says, fun factoid, tonight is the first game in the Lincoln Riley era ever that a Lincoln Riley team has shut out an FBS opponent. Look at that.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley teams have shut out FCS opponents, but this is the first FBS.
So, yeah. Joe says, does cruising this game and taking next week off lose some momentum coming into Michigan? I think the bye week is good here. I think it is a good opportunity for two reasons. A, to not let the Texas game affect SC's mind of, like, see, Michigan sucks. Don't overthink them. Or to write off the, oh, we just got this shutout. We're unstoppable. Like, we don't have to work as hard now. Like, any of those things. I think the bye week, this is a good time to just hit a little bit of a pause button, regroup, and get ready to go into the game that everyone circled all off season in addition to LSU.
Yeah, having more time to prepare for the going into the Big House facing Michigan, that's you take that, absolutely. I don't think that USC should be taking Michigan lightly just because of what happened to to with them with Texas. Like,
yeah,
they need to get ready physically, mentally, for all of that, and being more fresh going into that game after two really quality games, but still games wear you down, and going in fresh is definitely an advantage.
I don't want to talk about Michigan too much. Really quick though. Is SC favored?
USC will certainly outrank them.
We might get to the point where SC ends up being favored, which is not what you would have thought of, you know, 7 days ago.
I think we are closer to a world where the max number of points that Michigan will be favored by, if they are favored like at all, is like three.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those, like it's the neutral site. It's a push, but
yeah, the home field
gets three. Yeah. But I would say, based on the performances of these teams for the first 2 weeks, I would say I wouldn't be surprised if Vegas, who knows what they're doing, sees what USC's defense is now and says no.
Yeah, Angelo in the chat says the line's currently 9.5 Michigan.
That is not that.
If you can get that bet at 9.5,
we're not making suggestions, but like that line is no longer valid.
Ron Birdie says, "How excited are you to see multiple tight ends playing? And where was this for the last 2 years?"
Here's what is exciting to me, aside from just Lake McCree looking awesome outside of that fumble. It's Cade Eldridge and Walker Lyons and those guys coming in and blocking really well.
Mm-hmm.
USC's tight ends are assets as blockers right now, in addition to having a very dangerous receiving option in Lake McCree. But USC tight ends and blocking has not always been something that has gone very well.
Yeah.
And it's very nice to see them doing that, especially the younger guys. It shows you that they're being developed. Big props to there are so many Hansons.
Henson
is the offensive line coach. Hansen is slight, the tight end.
Slight pet peeve about SC names. At one point, there were three Elijahs on the team, and they were all spelled differently.
Yeah.
There was a Darius Rogers and a Khalil Rogers. Both of those Rogers were spelled differently. Mm-hmm. There was
Jaden and Jalen and
there was one class where there was Jalen Watkins and Jaden Williams. So all the names,
whatever it was,
getting confused. Fella Nico and Nico Fala on the roster at the same time. Like, what are we doing here?
And now the coaching staff has a Henson, a Hansen, and a Henderson.
This reminds me of there was a time where the Kings were this close to having a Richardson line, but they didn't sign Brad Richards.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Shame.
They're still paying Mike Richards though until 2033 because, you know. Anyways, Graham gave us a super chat. We didn't say anything, I don't think, but big shouts to Graham. 3 a.m. here in D.C. 3:37 now in D.C.
Yeah.
Big ups there.
And we also just got another super chat from Steven, who says, fight on. Thank you, Steven.
Yeah. And
fight
did,
on.
Did we say the other one for Hokie P? Hokie P came with a big one. Did we do that one?
Yeah, we did Top Georgia Fan.
Okay. A lot of... Big cheers. Is
Tack in the chat points out that we had like three Malachis and they all spelled Malachi different, by the way.
Yeah. And
last year,
Malachi
Nelson, Malachi Crawford.
I don't know what my favorite way to spell Malachi is.
Well, I learned that my brain does not like Malachi Crawford's spelling because my brain wants to do Maliki, and I recognize that it's Malachi. Like that, though.
But I kind of like that version of Malachi rather than the one that looks like Malachi. I know it's Malachi. I'm not saying it's Malachi, but like, I don't know. I kind of like that spelling.
See, that's how I feel about Malachi with the K.
I will say Marquise Lee, easily my favorite way to spell Marquise.
Yeah.
There's no Q in there. There probably should be a Q. It looks cooler without the Q.
No, sorry, Marquise Lee was without the U.
I'm an idiot.
Marquise, the way Marquise Lee spelled it, when it's spelled with the U, my brain can go to Marquise.
Sure. Samir says, no Travion O'Neill minutes? No. Travion O'Neill no longer with us, unfortunately.
Yeah. Travion O'Neill got
rested. What was your favorite Travion O'Neill era moment?
Travion O'Neill had many great moments for me.
He did.
So, you know, big ups to Travion O'Neill.
Yeah.
Gone but not forgotten.
Yeah. We will remember you, Travion O'Neill. One of the all time greatest threes in USC history.
Yes.
You know, there's plenty of them. Carson Palmer, Keyshawn Johnson, Curtis Conway, Jordan Addison,
and Travion O'Neill.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Boy Meets Taco says, what happened to Bear Alexander? Just one tackle. We talked about that earlier.
I will just reiterate, I would resist judging defensive tackle performance based on tackle numbers, especially in this defense.
Yeah, for sure. Oscar says, who's your MVP for today's game? My pick is Woody Marks.
I like the Woody pick. But I would love to pick somebody on defense, so I'm going to go with Eric Gentry.
I think it's Eric Gentry. I also, this is not Woody Marks' fault, but I feel like the MVP should play more than one half.
Yeah.
Woody Marks only played one half. He didn't need to play anymore. Yeah. It's good that he only played one half. I would say Eric Gentry. I think there was a moment there in that first half when he was like making a play every single time. Lamont says, I've been saying it since he got to SC. Eric Gentry is a game changer. What do you think changed for him this year? Obviously, the answer is just the system. But like, is it a position thing or is it a use thing? Does that make sense?
He looks very natural in this defense, but everybody does.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, you know, I think the system is using him well and he fits and I think they're putting him in positions to succeed. I think they're playing to his strengths. And his strengths are many because he's a unicorn. And I think that actually, you know what it is? This system where the defensive line is so disciplined and eating up blockers and freeing up gaps for the linebackers to go in and make plays takes some of his size issues away a little bit because he's just shooting a gap and getting in there. He also is bigger. Everybody is bigger and that helps.
Yeah. Lamont says, did they credit Anthony Lucas with a sack or not? No, he didn't get a sack.
Which is unfortunate because he continues to create, to make it hard on quarterbacks, but yeah. Just short of.
He's going to end up being a PFF god.
Yeah.
and not have the production to get like votes in like all Big Ten third team or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people look at the stat book and there's not much there. But
PFF
he's had a lot of impact that way. You look at the sack numbers, SC's got three sacks in this game. Seven tackles for loss, not that many. We talked about last year, SC was getting way more tackles for loss last year, but there were a boom and bust defense. Also, only one hurry on top of the three sacks. But I feel like Bryson Barnes never had time to do anything. So I think there's just a lot of stuff that just isn't registering as statistics because of whatever reason. Like they're SC's just in the right place at the right time, and sometimes that doesn't tick the box of a stat.
And I've never figured out how they calculate QB hurries because USC only got one hurry in this game, and I can tell you there were definitely some throws that were hurried because of Anthony Lucas in this game, and he's not getting the credit for him. So
my biggest question is, what the hell happened in the 80s when tackles were being counted?
Yeah.
Marcus Cotton has a year in like 1985 or something where he had like 200 tackles. Yeah. Like, on what planet did that happen?
Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore.
Like, I don't know. Like the tackles were like RFID chips. You got close. All right, there's a tackle for you.
Are you in stat broadcast right now?
Yeah. What do you need?
Go into defense.
Yeah.
My defense just changed to a bunch of names that I don't.
Oh yeah, mine
recognize.
Did too.
Oh, it flipped. No.
Wait, no, Nussmeier's in there.
Because Greedy Vance is on the Utah State defense, but he's also given 11 tackles. This is very strange. Sorry, it was just random.
Anyways. Lamont says, how is Garrett Meyer? He's balling also. Yeah, he looks pretty good on the defensive line. You've been talking about him much.
I cannot speak more highly of Gavin Meyer and Nate Clifton.
Yeah, absolutely. Samir says, if you had two game balls, who would you give them to? Lucy, I got to handle this because I do have two balls. I think we talked about Eric Gentry gets one. If we give one on offense, I give it to Quentin Joyner. I really liked Quentin Joyner. I think, obviously, Woody Marks had a great game, too, but I think I really like Quentin Joyner, what he did tonight.
No complaints there.
And Ryan says, what do you think about Maiava? We didn't talk about Maiava. You look good.
Jaden Caleb Williams light Maiava. He's like a skinnier, taller Caleb Williams.
I think it's funny you keep making
or
the
a
Caleb
skinnier,
Williams.
Skinnier, taller Sam Darnold.
He's wearing 14. The Darnold reference is right there.
I know, but like it's the way he's...
He's also wearing a speed flex.
Yeah.
Darnold was a Riddell guy. Riddell, whatever.
Here's what I'll say. Again, it's Utah State. It's Utah State. It's Utah State. It's Utah State.
Sure.
It's garbage time. It's garbage time. It's garbage time. It's garbage time.
You know who he looked like? And maybe this is just because I watched the Air McNair doc today.
Yeah.
He looked like Air McNair a little bit. Like he's not great. He's not a graceful scrambler.
But maybe that's why it looks so much more impressive.
Sure.
Because it's like you don't expect him to be able to move like that,
like
and then
McNair.
Suddenly
like
he does.
McNair wasn't graceful per se, but he's a big dude who was able to, you know, get the yards, and then that helps.
Here's what I'll say. I love Miller Moss.
Yeah.
Miller Moss has been excellent. He is a great leader. He is USC's quarterback, and he is thriving, and I want to see him continue to thrive.
Yeah.
But Jaden Maiava has the skill set that I think Lincoln Riley like prefers with his quarterback because of the ability
sure.
to run. Jaden Maiava would basically bring the read option back in a way that made Caleb Williams very effective because that read option was very effective.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Jaden Maiava's time.
Right.
But if Miller Moss decides to leave after this season, which I actually don't think he will, but if Miller Moss decides to leave, Jaden Maiava is the guy. He looks like the guy.
Over Lewis.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll see how it all comes to be. I thought Maiava looked good. Good problem to have. All of that kind of stuff. I agree with you that in a perfect world, obviously you want the fastest, strongest, biggest armed, smartest, all those check boxes. I think Miller Moss checks more of those boxes, but Maiava checks maybe some stylistic stuff that Lincoln would prefer, but like it doesn't matter at this point.
Maiava brings a different kind of skill that certainly Lincoln Riley would love to be able to utilize. Yeah.
But
that
doesn't mean enough to unseat.
That
Miller
doesn't
Moss.
Mean that he's the best quarterback for USC right now. The best quarterback for USC right now is absolutely Miller Moss.
Yeah. All right. I think we got to cut it there. We've got an hour and 10 minutes. There's 400 people on, and it's almost 1 a.m. Go to sleep, you weirdos. Absolute dorks. What are you doing? Listen to a couple of...
Hold on. I wasn't paying attention. Did Jake Jensen come in on that last drive to take the knees?
I
because this matters.
Ryan in the chat says there's a great kneel. The stat broadcast just does the team kneel thing.
The stat broadcast does not know what's going on because in my plays...
Well, now it's just 51-14 was the final score.
It's got Garrett Nussmeier. Like, stat broadcast is all messed up, but yeah, whatever's going on there. If Jake Jensen did come in, we'll have to check the tape.
Yeah, it is Jake Jensen, yeah.
Well, then...
Shouts to Adam Bradford for mentioning it on
Twitter. That's big for me. That's big.
Why?
Because I took the under.
Wait.
Yeah.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
I'm pretty sure.
Hold on. No, but Mayav already got three drives.
No, I thought he got two.
Touchdown. Wait, hold on. The thing's messed up. We'll wait for the PDF doc rather than stat broadcast, which suddenly has COVID or something. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. All right. We'll see you guys Monday. We'll be back Monday. Little PSA on what we're doing with the podcast. I think we haven't talked this out, but we're going to talk it out right here. Fallout episode Monday. I think we're going to take Wednesday off, but for the audio only listeners, we'll throw up the Reggie Bush interview. So if you haven't listened to that, it'll go up. Audio only. We'll probably put it up like Thursday or something, Thursday morning, as if it was the Wednesday episode. And then I think we'll be back with a Michigan preview the following Monday, 2 days earlier than it normally is, because we've got some scheduling stuff that's a little weird the Michigan week. So that episode will be Monday. So this Monday, the 10th, is Utah State Fallout. Monday, the 17th, is that right?
That sounds right.
No, this Monday, the 9th, Utah State Fallout. Next Monday, the 16th.
Next Monday, the 16th.
Is Michigan preview.
Yes.
There you go. All right. We will see you next time. Until then, we will see you.
Yeah.
See ya.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.